So the first reading today from the book of Genesis is seemingly all about a test of faith for Abraham. As we've heard over the last few weeks, of course, God had established a covenant with Abraham. God had promised to bless Abraham, make him a father of a great nation, from which all the nations of the earth would be blessed. And that covenant was marked by God's unfailing love, faithfulness, and a provision for Abraham and for his descendants. But now, God seems to require that Abraham give up his only son, his only child. So in the midst of this covenant, it seems that God was calling Abraham to a test that would stretch his faith beyond imagination. God says, take your son, your only son whom you love, Isaac. Sacrifice him as a burnt offering on a mountain that I will show you. Well, this was an agonizing command that demanded that Abraham offer up his beloved son, the son who he believed that the covenant promises would be fulfilled through. And it seems that Abraham's response to God's command reveals the depth of his faith. Abraham set out on the journey, trusting in the faithfulness of God, the God who had made a covenant with him. A conventional reading of this story is that Abraham's faith in God's character and promises was so strong that he believed even if he sacrificed Isaac, God would still fulfill his covenant through him. And as Abraham and Isaac reach the mountaintop, Isaac innocently asks his father where the lamb for the burnt offering was. And Abraham's response, God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son, also echoes the depths of Abraham's faith. But yet, this seems to be a horrifying example of a God who tests. It almost feels like it's for God's own amusement. But maybe there's a different way of looking at this passage, at this story. I wonder if Abraham had so much faith in God and in the covenant that he knew that God wouldn't require Abraham to sacrifice his son. Abraham doesn't seem to have been quite as troubled by God's request as he might have. If we think about the story, we see that he didn't ask God any questions. And he hadn't been shy about asking questions in the past. And it also seems that his son Isaac also had faith that no harm would come to himself. He trusted his father Abraham, and he trusted in Abraham's faith in God. And then we hear that God intervened and provided a ram to be sacrificed. And so God's provision demonstrated God's faithfulness to Abraham and reiterated the covenant that he had with him. And so in his own way, Abraham was showing his faithfulness to the covenant, and God was showing God's own faithfulness to the covenant. But despite that, it still seems that this story is discomforting. Maybe a bit of context would be useful. In the time of the writing of the Hebrew Scriptures, there was a disturbing practice among some political and faith leaders, not only among leaders of the Israelites, but those of other cultures as well. And that practice was the sacrifice of children to appease the god or gods who they worshipped. It was especially common when things were going poorly for the people or for the leaders as a display of good faith and obedience towards their god, so that the leaders would take their firstborn son and sacrifice him. We can actually read of those passages if you're interested in the books of Judges and Jeremiah and Micah and others. But in this passage that we just read, God is rejecting the sacrifice of Isaac. He's saying, no, you don't need to sacrifice Isaac. He's rejecting the sacrifice of children. God's faithfulness was determined and demonstrated without that sacrifice. God didn't want Abraham to lose his son. Our Muslim brothers and sisters are celebrating the feast of Eid al-Adha right now. And that's all about the story that we just read. It's all about that story. And that comes at that holiday comes at the end of the of their great pilgrimage, the Hajj. Something that's interesting is that the whole story of Abraham's walk to the mountain, which took 3 days, in the original Hebrew, it's called the Hajj, H-A-D-J, if you transliterate it. Really close to the feast that, or the observance that our Muslim friends are celebrating, the Hajj, H-A-J-J. And what happens on a pilgrimage? You spend time. There's a beginning. You determine that you want to begin it. You spend time. And you grow. You talk with God along the way. You consider God along the way. And so maybe that's what happened to Abraham. He was on a pilgrimage, thinking about the nature of God. And he was able to figure out that no, God wouldn't take away his son. And so, of course, child sacrifice isn't generally practiced these days. So what are the contemporary implications for us? You know, sometimes it feels like things are going so badly that we need to bargain with God, just like those ancient leaders. But is God a bargainer? Or maybe we sometimes try to buy God's love. You know, if I give a donation to the hospital, will you save my parent or my spouse or my child, God? Or is serious illness a test by God? Was the COVID pandemic a test? God doesn't inflict illnesses on us. God created us, so why would God then try to destroy us? And does God demand that we perform a sacrifice to save us from these hardships? No. It's another type of bargaining that we sometimes engage in. You might want to call that retrospective bargaining. You know, for example, if only I had been a better person, I wouldn't have gotten cancer. Or if only I had prayed more, I would have had more money. But I suspect that God doesn't have a list of criteria for whether you or I are deserving of good health or good fortune or good life. God loves us and wants us to have good lives on earth, leading to eternal life. That is God's covenant with us. And our side of the covenant is to behave in ways that will lead to better lives all around and to be faithful to God. Jesus told us to love one another as he loved us. The Ten Commandments, love your neighbors as you love yourself. You know, over the last few years, as I progressed through a discernment process to determine whether I should be ordained as a clergy person, I too was given various tests, or at least they felt like tests at the time. One question I was asked in a committee meeting after a summer ministry internship was this: how have you seen your understanding of God grow over the last few months? How have you seen your understanding of God grow over the last few months? Not the simplest of questions, is it? My answer was that I had seen the nature of God within many people in many circumstances. I saw God's love, God's comforting power, God's strength at work in new, sometimes unimaginable ways. And I'll say actually that the word pilgrimage entered into my answer as well. So over the time of his covenant with God, Abraham's knowledge and understanding of the nature of God and of how God cared for the world would have grown day to day. And the strength of his faith would have grown too. As we journey through life, we too might face tests that challenge our faith. In those moments, let us remember the story of Abraham. Maybe after some of those tests, ask yourself that question that was asked of me. How have I seen my understanding of God grow over the last little while? How have I seen my understanding of God grow over the last little while? So my prayer for all of us is that our faith may grow and mature as we learn about the nature of God. We pray that Abraham's example might inspire us to trust God, regardless of the circumstances we find ourselves in. And we pray that we might hold firmly to the covenant that God has established with us, the covenant that God has established with us through Jesus Christ. Amen.